We're just talking about how much better cough drops are when they've been in your pocket or your backpack for several years and they got lint in there with it. It just adds that little soothing thing.
But the allergies aren't bothering us. Don't
worry about that. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And guys, I want to tell you that everywhere I go in the last few weeks, this shows up. That's kind of a, you know, if you see something one time and you see it, you say, that's great. That's great information. And then just by coincidence, then you run into it again. You might think that you might ought to pay attention. About the third or fourth time, maybe you really need to pay attention. Maybe it's like a stop sign. You know, it's not really a suggestion. So, all right, it is for some of y'all. But anyway, this chapter 18, we'll do a quick review first. Again, it's the path to the palace. Welcome to a live stream, Crane Christian Church. This is our first service. David has been faithful in the field. When he was out there, no glory, no anything, but they were coming after his dad's sheep. Went after the lion and the bear, right?
Yes.
And during the lion and the lion represents fear. Will fear come after you no matter what you're doing?
Yes.
Fear is a liar, by the way. That's a song. And the second thing was the bear. And the bear comes from a word that means sloth. And when I did the deep dive years ago, for me and for when I teach this, I say that represents procrastination, laziness, because, you know, a lot of us know things we should be doing, right? Anybody else? Okay. So David conquered fear. He conquered laziness. And then he was faithful in battle. When it showed up and there was an enemy, which was Goliath, which we've been talking about, did he run to the battle? He was faithful in battle, because a lot of us, when stuff gets hard, it's when the hard get running, okay? It's when everybody disappears. And he was faithful in battle. And during that battle, he was faithful in faith, because he wasn't just had his faith in, well, yeah, you know, I killed a bear, I killed a lion. No. Remember what he said over and over and over. Why are you coming against my God? He never said coming against me. He said the God of Israel, the God of angel armies, the Lord of hosts. He is faithful in his faith. And I want to tell you something. We can do a lot in the flesh. There are people who have accomplished a lot in this world just by going by their flesh. But I want to tell you something. God has a plan for you as his son or daughter, to be the man or woman God's called you to be. And then we're going to get into this next part where he's still faithful, okay? And it was so when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, we're 18:1, was knit to the soul of David, and David loved him as his own soul. This is immediately after killing the giant. This is immediately after going through that, okay? And I want to tell you the first point this morning. That other was a review. It's important, but it was a review. The first point for you this morning is that you need brothers and sisters in Christ. You need them. You don't, I mean, it's like, well, you know, I don't like the way they do that down there. None of us are, we're not never going to agree on everything. It's okay. It's okay. But what we do agree on is that we're called, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth to follow him. But as you see the life of David, as you see the path to the palace, as you see his way to success, what you're going to see is this guy, Jonathan, Jonathan should have been jealous. Well, you didn't see Jonathan going out there and putting a rock and going like this. He should have been jealous, but instead, God gave him a tender heart toward David, because God knew he was going to need a Jonathan in his life. And as you see this story, as it grows, you're going to see it over and over. And God's put people in your life as your Jonathans and also as your Sauls. And we'll get into that in a little while. Okay? Because I know this is shocking to you, but sometimes people irritate me. And did you know what? That's a good thing. Because that makes me look at me. It makes, why does that irritate me? Why does that hit a sore spot on me? What does that do? Is it what in me needs to become more like Christ for that to be less of an irritant? Does that make sense? Okay, so God puts support and he puts sandpaper. There's the two S's. Support, and you need support, okay? And people have, and don't get me wrong, I love live stream. I watch live streams every week. I've got a person who watches our live stream, and I talk to him from time to time, and they said, well, Sunday, usually, they go to four churches and never leave their, but they also have Christian support around them, okay? Because they live stream this one, then they're live, then they watch the playback, you know, and they're getting some great teaching, I mean, from the other people. But anyway, but the point being is this. Literally, guys, you need that support and don't shun the sandpaper. If you go away from everything that makes you uncomfortable, you're never going to grow. You are never going to grow. And God's always been faithful to put both of those in my life. And I have ran from the sandpaper before. I have ran from the irritant. And get a little older, you learn that, you know, part of it's probably not their problem. Might be just a little, you know, when I point my finger at you, these three here are pointed back this way. You know what I mean? If I go like that, it's four. So anyway, but the bottom line is this, guys. God provided something in David's life, a person, to watch this next word, verse 3. Then Jonathan and David made a what? Okay. So we've had some folks join the church here recently. We've had people bring their children to be dedicated. And we don't do infant baptism, but we do dedications. And what that means is they're bringing their child forward and saying, you know what? I am dedicating this child to God, and I'm saying I'm going to raise him to follow Christ. And what we do during that time, if they attend this church, because sometimes they don't, but if they attend this church, we say, you know what? We're making also an agreement. We're also making a dedication that we will continue to provide sound teaching, sound doctrine, and love for you as you learn. Does that make sense? And guess what? If you ain't, I had my annual physical the other day, and they asked me, well, have you fallen lately? And I go, in a spiritual sense? And actually, I think I thought that. I'm not sure I said that out loud. But anyway, I said, no, not since 2 years ago in the ice. I hit the ground pretty hard, but 2 or 3 years ago. But the point being is they were asking, you know, how's your balance, you know, now that I'm almost 37. You know, they were asking those kind of questions. So anyway, but the point being is this, guys. They made a covenant, and you need to walk in covenant, number one, straight up to him. That, Lord, everything I have is yours. And what he, when he died on the cross, he rose from the dead and literally said these words like 40 days later. All authority has been given to me. Okay. So that's who you want to be in covenant with. The one who all authority has been given to. Not the one that's been cast down from heaven, which wants to covenant with you also. The God, little g, of this world, the enemy. Okay. So that's what salvation is. It's when the stronger takes care of the weaker, and he has done that with us. But you need to be in covenant with one another. Be there for one another. And here's the deal, because he loved him his own soul. Jonathan took off his robe that was on him and gave it to David. Now that is symbolic in a covenant relationship, okay? So in the motorcycle world, a lot of times you can tell where somebody belongs by what kind of vest or jacket. Back in the old days, it was jackets, and even before that, it was embroidered sweaters, okay? Back in the 40s and the 50s, you can tell who they belong to, who they're in covenant with, okay? Well, I want to tell you something, guys. When Jonathan took off his robe that was on him, when people saw David, when he was wearing that, he thought, people knew that was a kingly robe. It was a pre-vision, a pre-picture of what he was going to become. And remember what God says. He says, the robes of righteousness is what he puts on us. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't earn my robes at all. And I've tried to be careful with my robes of righteousness, but you know, they might get a little of the world on them every once in a while. Okay? No, I'm serious. But when the enemy sees me, he sees me in covenant with the Most High God. He sees the patch on my back that belongs to the Lord. He sees the robe of rightness. And we've spent some of us have spent our whole lives, we come from a tradition of, we got to do it better. 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 And you know what? Do as good as you can. It's cheaper. Saves on bond money. It saves on medical bills. Come on, am I telling the truth? All right, but stop it. Right. Yeah, whatever. I'm not going to say anything much. Okay. But I want to tell you something. You need that covenant, brother and sister. You need that covenant with the king's house and that robe and his armor, even his sword and his bow and his belt. And I want to tell you something. God has given us weapons of warfare. And I want to tell you something. We need to use the word of God. Your sword is your intellect. And we got some smart people in this room right now. And I mean that. Okay. Some of you I ask questions. Okay. Some of you I don't. But anyway, about different subjects. But anyway, but the point being is, You need the word of God, which is the weapon of our warfare. And listen, bring that to you, learn it, and be able to use it, speak it. So David went out when Saul went with him and behaved wisely. So I'm going to get off the covenant, brothers and sisters, the covenant here, that you've got that. But the second point is this: everywhere he went, he behaved wisely. I wish that I could lay hands on people in a nice way, okay? And they'd fall down and fall asleep, you know, fall out in the spirit and get up and behave wisely for the rest of their life. That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful, okay? But guess what? My experience is that doesn't happen, okay? That doesn't mean that people don't get slain in the spirit. That doesn't mean that stuff doesn't happen in the spirit. But what does happen is people have to make a choice every time something comes up. David had to make choices. Saul had to make choices. Bruce has to make choices. Okay? When I look down the road, I like to make sure nothing's coming before I pull out. That's a choice. Does that make sense? Okay. When the light comes on and it says it's about to run out of gas, I can say, I don't have to pay no attention to that. No, probably need to stop pretty soon, right? Because it's going to run out of gas. That's choices. And David, it says here that David behaved wisely. Now, guys, I want to tell you how you can do that. We've been in Proverbs. Now we're talking about how David used wisdom. We talked about wisdom on and off for the last 6, 8, 10, 14, 18 weeks, whatever. Okay, it's one of them numbers. So, but the point being is this, guys. Make the choice to do the right thing. And as you do that, this is going to sound, well, just Just listen. The more you do it, the easier it gets. The first time somebody said something that I wanted to say, shut up, stupid. Okay. Okay. And I didn't, and things went better. Guess what? Even the old dog can learn a trick, okay, sometimes. And I'm like, hey, that saved me a lot of pain. Yep. And the next time somebody said something stupid, I might have thought exactly the same thing. But instead of that, I thought, well, the last time I didn't say nothing and everything worked out better. And guess what? And the third time, I didn't even consider saying it. None of my business. Shut up. In my head. That's in my head. But anyway, the bottom of the line is this, okay? The bottom line is this. Behave wisely. Let that be the foundation of your action. When you go to do something, say, literally think these words. Would I do this if God was here in the flesh with me? Would he be pleased with me as his son? And he'd be standing there and he'd see me do that. And many years ago, many years ago, I was out very late at night working, and I was driving my police car through a town, and there was a guy that I recognized as a burglar. I think he's dead right now, but as Bobby was his name. Different state, different time, don't worry, don't try to figure that out. Anyway, it was, I rolled down the window and I said, actually, he saw me and I saw him, and he goes, and so I rolled down the window and he says, can you give me a ride to the ER? I go, what's wrong? He said, man, I've done some bad dope and I am sick. I need some help. I said, okay, let me call my supervisor. And I got on the radio and I said, yeah, baby, baby, baby. And so he said, yeah, go ahead and take him. Make sure you don't have any guns, knives, dope on him. Okay. So he was in there and you could tell he was really messed up. Okay. I put him in there, he put his seatbelt on. I got in there and I've always been kind of a joker. I know that shocks you. But I just saw myself turning around and going, ah! And I really wanted to do that. I really, really wanted to do that. And I thought, that is not what Jesus would have done. Okay. So I then got him to the hospital, got out, took him in there, said, hey, he's sick. He's done something. Let you talk to him. And so I was talking to one of the nurses, and making sure that he didn't go crazy in there. And I said, you know, I thought about scaring him a little bit. And she said, well, his heartbeat, I think, was 180 beats per minute, so you'd probably killed him. So does that tell you anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe God knows what he's doing. Maybe being wise is a good idea. Maybe. Do you think? Maybe he knows what he's doing. Maybe he designed us. Maybe if you when it says on the side of a lawnmower, don't pick it up by the when it's running, because your hands will be down there with the blades. You think the guy that designed that might have wrote that on there because somebody didn't have enough sense not to do that? Okay, so maybe God knows what he's talking about when he, you know, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about love. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Says that he behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. He became popular. He's popular. He's doing the right thing. He's already been there, done that, been in a fight and won. He's depending on God. He's in covenant with the king's son. He's walking this path. And guys, when I was studying this week, and I literally just threw up my hands. What could go wrong now? Everything's perfect. What could go wrong? What could possibly mess this up? Okay, so have you ever done that? You say, man, I'm doing good now, blah, 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 and then the car goes whoop, into the tree. I mean, that's exactly what happened. So David went out, behaved wisely, set him over. He was popular in the sight of his servants and in the people. And it happened that they were coming home when David was returning from slaughter of the Philistines, as the woman had come out of the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. So they're having a get-together, having a, as we call it back home, a wing-ding, okay? About to have a wing-ding, okay? And the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has killed his thousands, David's killed his 10,000s.
Oops.
What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Okay. Then Saul was very angry. And he, the saying displeased him. Do you, or is anybody shocked at that? Well, and here's the deal. Jealousy has been called the green-eyed demon, the demon monster, the green-eyed. And I want to tell you something. I hadn't struggled with it in a while, but when you do, it's nasty. And I would say just refuse it. I mean, it's not, you can't really coddle it. You can't really say, oh, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, just refuse it. Okay, because it's, there's nothing good coming from jealousy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Admiration is not jealousy, okay? If you see somebody that is working hard and making money and they get them a new truck, jealousy would be like, jealousy makes you bitter. But then you think, you know what? If I worked harder, if I managed my money right, I might could get me a pickup like that. That would be aspiration. Is that, you see the difference between jealousy and aspiration? Jealousy makes you bitter, okay? And aspiration makes you either work harder or you figure out, yeah, it ain't worth it. Whatever. I'll get the used model. But anyway, so what could go wrong? They described to David 10,000s. Now to me, they described thousands. My, what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed him from that day forward. Now, guys, some of y'all are not going to like this theology. But this, I cannot reach in here and pull out one thing and not look at it in the light of everything I have. Okay? It's a big book. You gotta look at the whole book. Okay, but I want to tell you something. Let me ask you something. Does God know what he's doing?
Yes.
Does he work in spite of the people around us doing ignorant stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Does he work in spite of our personal insecurities and those insecurities around us?
Yes.
Is God in charge or not?
Yes.
Because if I'm in charge, tell me. So I'm going to straighten this out. It's going to be over in about 25 minutes. All right. But I'm not saying I'd do it right, okay? I'm just saying it'll be over with. We can go back to the couch and watch Westerns. Anyway, but here's the deal. So watch this. David is doing the right thing, but David is not going to get on the, he's not going to be the man that God called him to be without that irritant. He's not going to be. And you say, well, God's word says I'm supposed to have peace. How can I have peace with all this? I'm going to tell you something, because peace comes from in there, not out here. Joy comes from in here, not out here. Okay? So you see that? Okay, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that you pick up. It's not a fruit that you can pick up in the field. Okay. So, and it happened the next day that a distressing spirit from God came upon Saul. And again, this theology, people don't like this. It says a spirit's a little S. That means it's not the Holy Spirit. Came from God and prophesied, made inside the house. And David played music with his hands at other times. But there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall with it. But David escaped his presence twice. This next word is protection. We got people in this room, we'll go into details, that have experienced God's protection. I have experienced God's protection. Guys, I was in a remote area many, many, many years ago, traveling, ran off the road. It was 20 below zero. There was nobody there. There was nobody to help me. There was nothing there. Okay, my truck, there's no way for me to get it out. It was leaking the fluids out of it. I was out there, and then I began to jack it up and had a high lift jack and try to push it out of the snow, trying to do it myself because, you know, I'm so smart. And as I did that, my hand got hung in the jack, and I'm there at 20 below with my hand hung in the jack. And if I move every time I move it, it hurts worse. I was in a mess. And guess what I did? I prayed. And I had to reach down with my mouth on the steel and pull back with my mouth on the steel to get my hand out. Then it did fall over, but it didn't fall on me. And that right after that, immediately, the truck was still running, but not good. I got back in to warm up, and then an angel came. But now he don't know he's an angel. He was a redneck truck driver. A redneck, absolute 100%. He's pointing himself. It wasn't you, but yeah, he looked a lot like you. And this is on the Alaskan highway. And he pulls up and he walks over and said, well, you're in a mess. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, Eric, can you get on it? I said, maybe. He said, well, he goes out, gets the chain, drags it out, and he puts a strap on the end of that. I crawled on the truck, wrap it up. He drags me out to the road. I help him put his stuff up. I got my wallet. He said, I don't need that. I get paid the same no matter if you stay stuck or not. And in my heart, I said, praise God. And I was just a GI by myself in the middle of nowhere. And he drove off, and I made it to somewhere in Canada that night. And it was so cold in the truck, I had to hold my hand against the thing to keep it from freezing. I was looking out of a thing here, driving like this. And I pulled in, and I had my cowboy hat on, had everything wrapped around me like this. And I went in, and this, I'll never forget what the lady said when I walked in. Are you riding a horse? I said, no, ma'am. My truck heater ain't working. It couldn't overheat because it was so cold. But the point is that fluid had gotten down low, and I will never forget that. And but the point is, I got it fixed the next day, and I made it. And me and Kim were engaged a few days later, so I was temporarily insane during all that. Just kidding. So he was jealous. But did God protect him? Will God protect you?
Yes.
Does God know what he's doing, though? Does he also know how to get our attention?
Yes.
He will get your attention. So Saul was afraid of David because the Lord is with him, but he had departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him captain over 1,000 and went out and came before the people. But see, here's the deal. God had put Saul and David in a very weird position. Saul couldn't get rid of him because the people loved him. He couldn't get rid of him because he's keeping the Philistines at bay. He couldn't do without him, but he hated him. And I'm gonna tell you something. God's tricky like that. God will put you in a very uncomfortable situation to make you into the man or woman God's called you to be, okay? And, but Saul was not hearing it. He was going to do what he was going to do anyway. But David, it was shaping David. And 14 and David, we're 18 and 14, and David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, Saul said that he behaved wisely and was afraid of him, but all of Israel and Judah loved David. Now, this is the next point. Watch this. one of the reasons that David had favor. Number one, favor comes from God. Okay. But he didn't squander that. It literally says that David was a man of the people. He didn't walk around like this. I'm just a little, I'm the giant killer. Don't you know who I am? Yes, for 1995. No, what he did was he was out there with the people. He was out there in the battlefield. He was out there doing the things that he was expecting his men to do. And he endeared him. That endears people to you. Does that make sense? I tried very hard many years ago. I won't do the math. Math are hard, okay? A long time ago, I actually resigned my commission, went full-time in the ministry, and I tried to do that. But let me tell you what happened. I found myself constantly surrounded by people like me, religious people like me. I'd go to meetings. It was all about religion, all about churches, and I didn't see anybody do anything. We were just kind of baptizing each other, okay? And I needed to be out there in the trenches, seeing people, spending time with people, doing that stuff. And there's a lot of pastors that can find that balance to do that, but I went right back to work and began to pray with people in the police car, okay? And that's always worked for me. It's always, it's always been something I've done. And he's out there with the people, and it's just this plan that Saul has for him is just not working. Saul is just like, nothing I do fixes this problem. I can't get rid of him. I can't keep him. He's driving me nuts. I've tried to kill him. God's protecting him. It's just not working. So Saul said to David, here's my older daughter, Mirah. I'll give to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me, and I will and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of Philistines be against him. In other words, get him out there in the battlefield and get him killed and get rid of it. I want to tell you something. God's protection is the same in this building as it is on the battlefield, as it is, God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Okay. So that wasn't going to work. David said to Saul, who am I that my life or my family of king that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it happened at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David. She was given to Adriel the Methelite as a wife. Well, so now he's been offended. He gave him somebody. Now, they didn't get married, okay? But now Michael or Michelle or, yeah, Saul's daughter loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Because Saul was trying to figure out how to get rid of this guy. Because, and Saul said, I will give her to him that she may be a snare to him. Can you imagine thinking that about your daughter? That's irritating to me. Every time I read that, that's irritating to me. That she may be a snare to him. And that the hand of the Philistines may be against her. Therefore, Saul said to David a second time, you shall be my son-in-law. Saul commanded his servants, communicate with David secretly and say, look, the king has delight in you and the servants love you. Now, therefore, become the king's son-in-law. Now, that was after he tried to kill him. So I don't know that that would be as easy believable as you think. There is that. Yeah, he likes me a lot, but he tried to kill me twice, Sound like some of the family reunions I've been through. Okay. Anyway. So Saul's servants did this, told him that, and does it seem to be a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, saying I'm poor and highly esteemed man, lightly esteemed. And the servants of Saul told him in this manner David spoke. And then Saul said, thus you shall say to David, the king does not desire any dowry, which was, in other words, you come up, you give me 100 horses and you can, I'll let you marry my wife or whatever. He'd declare any dowry, but he just wants 100 foreskins. Now, I'm not sure what he's going to do, to make a wallet or, whatever. But what he was trying to do is to get him to go to this battle to get killed. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the things the enemy mean for bad will be for good. Sometimes God goes in there and takes that, and instead of giving him 100, hey, unlock that door for him, will you? I forgot that this morning. I was slightly distracted. But anyway, the bottom line is this. Instead of 100, he brought him 200. And so people were already singing about him. And can you imagine the stories that were told around behind the barn about this story? So that means you had to kill at least 200 men. And then Saul gave him Michelle, his wife. And David saw and knew the Lord is with David. Or Saul saw and knew that the Lord is with David. And his daughter loved him. And now Saul's more afraid of him. Now he's more afraid of him. And David, we're going to close it out right here. And David continues that path. And now he's behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul. And that his name became highly esteemed. Now, this path to the palace he's been on, we're going to close in 2 minutes. This path has not been a smooth path, has it? I just want you to think about it. He's been put down by his brothers. He was miffed, or actually forgotten kind of, by his dad in the beginning. And then after the anointing, everybody resented him, okay? His brothers resented him. Yeah, you know, why aren't you back there? Then he has to fight a giant. He has to fight a lion. He has to fight a bear. He has to go, this ain't been an easy thing. But where he's at right now, guys, I look at him and I say, you know, it seems like he should have learned everything he should. Why would he have to go through anything else? And it's going to get more interesting as we go ahead. And you see people and you say, remember what happened with Job? And this is not my favorite story, okay? With Job, literally it says, and the sons of God were walking before him and reporting to him. And the enemy reports to him, you know, something, and then God looks at the enemy and says, have you considered my servant Job? Hey, look at him. You think everybody's a jerk? Look at Job. And it's when every time I read that, I think, man, Lord, don't be saying that about me. And literally, then God allows the progression. You know the story. God allows the progression where gradually, Job loses and then loses and loses and loses. And God allows that. And that's one of the oldest stories in the Bible. Okay, most people believe that it was an oral story, then it was actually recorded by Moses. But guys, in that story, God is glorified. And that's the purpose of it. And sometimes we have to go through some stuff for God to be glorified and for us to become the men and women God's called us to be. So let's start today, right now, this minute, decide we're going to take what our life has been to right here, and we are going to use that and to glorify God and become the man, the woman God has called us to be. And Father, that's my desire. We've all struggled. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all, you know our hearts, God. But Lord, let us take your word, apply it to our life, and the circumstances that you put them in, and let us be the men and women you've called us to be as we are on this path to be your people completely and to fulfill our destiny here and then enjoy you for eternity someday. Father, thank you for these people. Lord, I pray that you bless them, keep them, Let your light shine on them and give you peace. Have a great day. God bless you. I'll be back in about 40 minutes.